Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
So now it talks about a man that's going to come in just for a short time, which I believe is the Antichrist who dies and then is revived or resurrected. He ruled the kingdom and then died. On his death, he no longer ruled the kingdom.
Today on Practical Christian Living, we close out chapter 17 of the book of Revelation as we study what we know about Mystery Babylon and the beast described as having seven heads and 10 horns. There will be many world rulers who rise to power during the tribulation, but their reign is short-lived because, as the end of chapter 17 tells us, the Lamb will overcome them. Here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson.
Now, I want to give you Revelation 13, 1 through 8, and this is a description of the beast. I just want to show you a couple things as we make our way through here. Then I stood on the sand of the sea. This is back in Revelation 13. And I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having seven heads and 10 horns, and on his horns, 10 crowns. So we know that these 10 horns represent 10 different kings. And then it says, and on his head, blasphemous names. Now the beast which I saw was like a leopard, and his feet were like a bear. His mouth was the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power, his throne, and his authority. Now if you go back to Daniel, the leopard, the bear, and the lion represent different powers, different world ruling powers. So this beast is long standing. He has been around all the way back in the time of Egypt, in the time of Assyria, in the time of Nebuchadnezzar, Babylon, in the time of the Medo-Persian Empire, the Medes and the Persians, which took over Babylon, in the time of Greece, and in the time of Rome, and has been active in the world today until he finally has his one world government. So this beast has been around all of that time, and he is in charge of the one world government, which is an anti-God system. It says, I saw one of his heads as if it had been mortally wounded, and the deadly wound was healed. And all marveled and followed the beast. So they worshiped the dragon, who is the Satan, that's what we're told, who gave authority to the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like the beast and who can make war against him? And he was given a mouth speaking great things and blasphemous. And he was given authority to continue 42 months, so 3.5 years. That's from the time he sets up his image, but the false prophet sets up his image in the temple until 3.5 years later when Jesus finally returns. It goes on to say all authority was given to him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. We're going to hear something about that with this woman that's on this beast as well. All who dwell on the earth will worship him, whose names have not been written in the book of life, slain from the foundations of the world. The Lamb's book of life, slain from the foundations of the world. Now, I won't spend a long time on the Lamb's Book of Life because we're going to get it again near the end of the book of Revelation. I want to stay going over stuff with Mystery Babylon. But the Lamb's Book of Life has the names in it of those who are eternal. And we'll talk about what it means slain before the foundations of the world and what it means that the names were written in there from the foundations of the world. Okay? I think it includes God's foreknowledge. I think everybody has a genuine ability to choose whether or not to be saved. I think that the Bible wouldn't tell us choose who you're going to serve or whoever believes will be saved if whoever believed couldn't be saved. It's a more complicated topic than that, which I won't spend time here, but I will later on in the book of Revelation. So we get to verse 9. So we have this beast now. We know that he's connected to world powers, right? And we know that he has 10 horns, which represent the last 10 kings that are going to be on the earth in the revived, what I think is the revived Roman Empire. Some people believe it's a revived Islamic caliphate, not a revived Roman Empire. And some people who I respect believe that as well. I don't right now. Doesn't mean I won't change my mind. Look, if there's a certain turn that our world takes, and all of a sudden we see an Islamic caliphate established, a caliphate is a government that rules over every Islam in the world. It'd be like we have our nations, and then if you had one world power that ran all Christians, that's what a caliphate is. And so if a caliphate is founded and somebody arises out of it and some other things come together, then maybe, you know, I'll sing a different tune. Right now, I don't see it. I see a revived Roman Empire. Verse 9, here is the mind which has wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sets. Notice they are mountains and not hills. Rome is the city of seven hills. This is the word for mountain. Now, where does this woman sit? We read it in the very beginning of this chapter, right? It says, let me get there. It says, but to the angel, why do you marvel? I tell you the mystery of the woman and the beast that carries her, which has seven heads and 10 horns. Maybe it isn't here. Maybe it's somewhere else. Hold on. It says that she sits by many waters. And it says the waters are nations, tongues, peoples, and tribes. So she sits on many waters and she sits on seven mountains. The mountains may represent the actual lands, where the seas represent the people of every tribe, tongue, and nation. But this woman has been sitting on many waters, not just now. It's not that she comes on the scene in the last days. She's been on the scene since the beginning of Babylon. Just like the beast has been there since the first world empires, the woman has been on the beast since the first world empires, looking to deceive, looking to cause people to turn against God. Now, it goes on to say then in verse 9, here's the mind of wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains the woman sets on. There are also seven kings. Five have fallen. One is. The other has not yet come. And when he comes, he must continue a short time. Now, I'm glad you guys got that. Let's go ahead and go on from there. Just kidding. Let's take some time here. Five have fallen. There are seven kings. Five have fallen. One is at the time, and another has yet to come. Now, there's two views on this. There's a view that he's talking about the Roman emperors, that he's going back to Augustus, Tiberius. You could think I'd remember the third Roman Empire emperor. And then you had the year of the four emperors, right? Then you had Domitian, this emperor here now. And so they try to go through it, but it kind of makes sense in history. But once you get to the one who is and was and is yet to come, it kind of falls apart. And then the Roman emperors just keep going. It's not like they stop. They continue to go on. So it really doesn't fit. In fact, it's kind of shoehorned in. When you go back to look at it and see, is this talking about the first Roman emperors, Domitian, who was the emperor when John wrote this, and then another emperor who would follow him? It just doesn't make any sense. Instead, I believe that these kings, these seven kings, are kingdoms of the world, that they are the world power kingdoms. Number one would be Egypt, which was a world power. Number two would be Assyria, which followed Egypt. Number three would be Babylon. Number four would be the Medo-Persian Empire. Number five would be Greece. Number six would be Rome. And since Rome, there has not been another world power. Certainly Hitler wanted to be, certainly Stalin wanted to be, but these guys didn't become world powers. And we're not just talking about the most dominant power in the world, like America. Some people call America Mystery Babylon, by the way. And it's amazing to me that a pastor would say that he would get up and say, America's Mystery Babylon, because it says, we're gonna read this, it says, get out of her, my people. So if you're gonna teach that America is Mystery Babylon, and you still live in America, then you gotta pony up. You gotta move out of the United States. You better leave. America has a lot of wickedness, and wickedness is growing, to be sure. But America also has a lot of great things that they've done and a lot of great things that they're doing. There's no one who reaches out and helps the poor around the world like America does. America ministers in ways around the world that is unlike anyone else. And there's a lot of ways in which America wouldn't fit. Now, maybe future America would. Maybe one day there would be enough changes where future America would be Mystery Babylon. But America today is definitely not Mystery Babylon. Neither is it Babylon, because why would that be a mystery? Now, the seventh person, it says, let's read it again here. Five have been, it says one is, so the five are the five I mentioned, and then Rome. Rome is the one that is, so that's number six. Then you have one that is not yet, that's the revived Roman Empire. And when he comes, he must continue a short time. So now it talks about a man that's going to come in just for a short time, which I believe is the Antichrist who dies and then is revived or resurrected. He ruled the kingdom and then died. On his death, he no longer ruled the kingdom. Listen to what it goes on to say here. The beast that was and is not is himself also the eighth and is of the seven. Now, do you understand why I said you might want to get a Bible in front of you? So the beast who was and is not, which I think the beast is the Antichrist. He was not. He's himself the eighth. Why? Because I think he died, was revived, and he is the eighth ruler, but he was also the seventh. So he's of the seventh. It goes on to say then, and is going to perdition. He's going to a wasted life because that's where he's going. Now the 10 horns which you saw are 10 kings who have not received their kingdom yet. Let's pause here and talk for just a moment about the book Mystery Babylon by Alexander Hislop. I talked about it last week. You guys remember me kind of going off on it? So anytime you look up Mystery Babylon, one of the first things you're going to find is Alexander Hislop's book called Mystery Babylon, and it's claiming the Catholic Church is Mystery Babylon. That's what his claim is. And it is an awful book. It does not have good footnotes. It has shoddy connections. I read the book when I was a teenager. I used the book to teach from. It says that Nimrod was married to Semiramis, and Semiramis and Nimrod had Tammuz. They were never alive at the same time. If they got married and had a kid, it's a super miracle because they were like a millennium apart from each other. Semiramis did not live when Nimrod lived, and Tammuz did not live when Semiramis lived. None of them were around at the same time. Semiramis may even have been a made-up woman. And then he said that Christmas is Saturnalia and Easter is Ishtar, mostly because they sound the same, Easter and Ishtar. But they're not the same, and the connections are bad. And if you've read that book, don't use the information in it. And if I can, just talk to pastors that are listening to this now. Don't use that book as a reference work. Don't cite it at all. When I hear people that I respect, and as I said, maybe even myself, I probably have a teaching in Revelation 17 that has me saying, Nimrod was married to Semiramis and had a son by the name of Tammuz. I'm sure I've got it. I'm sure it's out there. But it's time to reject it. We know it for what it is now. And Alexander Hislop, a Presbyterian pastor, he may have been a good pastor, but the danger here is when he tried to shoehorn what everybody believed in his day. In 1850, everybody believed the Catholic Church was the woman that rides the beast. And so he shoehorned in by shoddy scholarship. He wasn't a scholar. He was a journalist. He was a pastor. He wrote this book, but he wasn't a scholar. But he shoehorned it in, put footnotes down that when you follow, go nowhere. So when you read the book, you're thinking, well, there's footnotes. Can I tell you that when you're reading a book where a claim is made that has a footnote in it, chase the footnote down. Sometimes you'll be surprised that the footnote doesn't even say anything about what the footnote is there for. When you start chasing footnotes down, you start going, I don't know if that's enough evidence to make the claim that he made. They'll make a claim, give you a footnote, and it's not there. This book is full of it. So let me just say, don't follow the book. You want to read the book, go ahead. I'm not telling you what to do. I'm just telling you that when you're preaching, we look silly. I look silly. We look silly when we're quoting something that is from a book that is so bad, and it really is bad. All right, let's get back to our study here. Putting away my soapbox now, back on my study. I'm gonna do a short form video. I'm gonna do a hot topic on, you know, don't read Mystery Babylon. It's gonna be the title of it. So many people read it. Just cite some of his errors and really point them out. All right, so where are we at? 12, that's it? Okay, the 10 horns which you saw are 10 kings, who have received kingdoms, no kingdom as of yet, but they receive authority for 1 hour as kings with the beast. So during the 3.5 years that he rules, and he now has a world power, these 10 kings rule together with him. These are of one mind, and they will give their power and authority to the beast. So they are yes men of 10 rulers over different parts of the world. The beast oversees everything, and they will give their power to the beast. These will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them. So it's a bad decision that they make war with the Lamb. For he is the Lord of lords and the King of kings. And those who are with him are called chosen and faithful. And he said to me, the waters which you saw where the harlot sits are peoples, multitude, nations, and tongues. So we don't have to guess about what the waters are. They're people. And remember, she's been sitting on this beast for a long time, all the way back to the days of Egypt. And the 10 horns, which you saw on the beast, they will hate the harlot. So she is sorcery and astrology, false doctrines, whatever they are. She's been deceiving. The whole world's drank of her fornication, right? And the political arm of the Antichrist will now destroy Babylon. And it is a city. Mystery Babylon is a city. It's a city that will be rebuilt. For God has put into their hearts to fulfill his purpose. So God wants to destroy this woman, and these political kingdoms turn on her and attack her. And she has a headquarters somewhere. We don't know where these headquarters are going to be. It will be a city to be of one mind and to give her the kingdom to the beast. So they're going to tear her city down, and then they're going to give the power to the Antichrist until the words are fulfilled. And the woman who you saw is that great city which reigns over the kings of the earth. Now, here's the thing. If you're going to say anybody is Babylon, it has to be a city that is reigning over the kings of the earth. How is that the Vatican? How is that America? How is that Babylon being rebuilt? Now, maybe Babylon will be rebuilt somewhere besides where it was, and maybe it'll be named Babylon, and maybe they'll have authority over the kings of the earth. But this is this religious center which is given authority over the kings of the earth, and it's because of her luxury. It's because she is wealthy. Now, let me read to you, that was our last verse. Let me read to you 14 characteristics of this mystery Babylon, which is a city, right? Number one, Babylon is a great city. This is not the only place that says it. It says it over and over and over and over again, that it is a city, the city is destroyed, it calls her a city. If it was a metaphor, it wouldn't use it as often as it does. Babylon is a great city. Number two, the kings of the earth commit fornication with her. That's the kingdoms of the earth that have accepted astrology and sorcery and monthly prognosticators that she did from her youth. The merchants of the earth become rich through the abundance of her luxury. So Mystery Babylon is full of luxury, and the merchants of the earth get rich off of her. This is a financial boom that is yet to come for at least the merchants of the earth. The blood of the saints is shed by her. Again, America? Have we shed the blood of the saints? Could that possibly be said? I'm not saying that no Christian has ever been killed unfairly in America, but could it be said that we have shed the blood of the saints? How does that fit? It might fit with the Vatican. The Vatican at certain times during the Inquisition killed real, genuine Christians who wouldn't follow after what the Vatican said. But remember, all these characteristics have to be together. She sits by waters, which are peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues, so she has great influence. She's connected to the wilderness somehow. The Bible says went out to the wilderness. Number seven, I saw the woman sitting on a scarlet beast having 7 heads and 10 horns. Number eight, the ships of the sea become rich by her wealth. Somehow she's involved with her luxury and the city and the shipping lanes of the world. Now, the shipping lanes of the world are controlled by America. We control the shipping lanes. Now, it's with other countries as well, but we're the ones that have the power behind the shipping lanes. We are the military threat if somebody violates the shipping lanes. So this is why some people will say it's America, but other things don't fit. God's people are called out of her. God says, come out of Babylon. So if you're living in America, you think it's Babylon. If you're teaching it's Babylon, you better go move to, I don't know, Honduras, Switzerland, anywhere but America. God's people are called out of her. Number 10, she glorified herself and lived luxuriously. This is a wealthy city that is also full of false doctrine, including astrology and so on. Will be destroyed in 1 hour. These 10 kings that are political powers for the Antichrist will turn on this wealthy city and false religious system and will destroy it. The nations are deceived by her. They've always been deceived by her. She's come down through the years and she's deceived the nations. Ever since there was the true God to follow, and as other things broke away, she was part of that deception. And she sits on 7 mountains. Now, that's 14 different things that we've noted so far in our study. I told you when we started last week, we were going to make a list, and we have 2 more studies about Mystery Babylon. We saw her destroyed by the 10 kings here, but we're going to see the world stunned at her destruction next week. And then we're going to see heaven rejoice at her destruction the week after that. And there are more things that are said about Mystery Babylon that help us get it. Now, let me tell you who I think Mystery Babylon is. Mystery Babylon is a false religious system who has deceived the world over the years. And it probably includes, it does include sorcery, astrology, false teachings, false doctrines. I think you can go broad on this, that she's involved in it all. And that she is going to be wealthy in the future. She's going to be wealthy. She's going to be luxurious. The merchants of the world are going to get rich off of her. The ships in the shipping lanes are going to get rich by what she does. So it could be any of these guesses, minus, I think, Babylon, because it's never going to be rebuilt, and America, because I don't think it fits. I think any of these other options, it could be. But here's what you have to say. And if you're teaching on this, say this instead. Say future Rome, future Vatican. Because if it's the future Vatican, think of this. If it's the future Vatican in the tribulation period, Christians are gone. We're told that we're going to be caught in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air and forever be with the Lord. We're promised in Revelation 3:10 that we are not going to go through the tribulation period, but God's going to take us from the hour of testing that is going to come upon the whole world. And we're not going to partake of the wrath of God. Romans 5:9 and 1 Thessalonians 5:9. So all the genuine Christians in the Catholic Church, and they are there. They believe in the resurrection. They believe in the heart of what the gospel is. Now, they believe a bunch of other stuff that's problematic, but they do believe in the heart of the gospel. And there are Christians in the Catholic Church, the Roman Catholic Church. There are, but they're going to be gone. So that what's left is the ungodly Catholics who are going to then be part of Mystery Babylon, if they are. The same thing is true for those Messianic Jews who want to keep the law and say, we're Mystery Babylon. Well, when we'll be gone, the real genuine Christians will be gone. And if the church would be Mystery Babylon, which I don't think it is, but if it would be, then it would be those who aren't really Christians. So it could be said of all of these things that we covered in the beginning, future Rome, future Babylon, future Mecca, future Vatican, future Jerusalem, future America. Because remember, the Jews won't be in Jerusalem anymore. During the reign of the Antichrist, the Jews are taken on two wings into the wilderness and hidden. So whoever is in Jerusalem, if Jerusalem does become the city that is luxurious and kings of the earth rule, which we don't have a city like that today, there's no city that fulfills these requirements we've studied. So you have to say, I don't know. You could say, I think it'll be Rome. I think it'll be Mecca. I think it'll be America. But don't be dogmatic because you don't know. Nothing fits all of these descriptions that we've been given.
Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson. We pray that wherever you're listening from, the study of God's Word is encouraging you and strengthening your walk with Christ. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com. Producing this program would not happen without the support and generosity of listeners like you. If you would like to partner with us financially, and Practical Christian Living Radio and TV has blessed you, please visit pclaz.org. That's pclaz.org, where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a reoccurring basis. We'd love for you to join us at one of our two campuses in Tucson. Our West Campus is located at 5170 South Julian Drive, and our East Campus is located at 8711 East Speedway. East Campus service times are Saturday at 6 p.m. and Sundays at 10 a.m. Our West Campus meets Sundays at 8:45 a.m. and 11:15 a.m. Our midweek service times are Wednesday evenings at 6 p.m. at our East Campus and 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. You can also listen live to our Sunday morning 9:30 service and Wednesday evening 6 p.m. service right here on Reach Radio Tucson at 106.7 FM, 690 AM, streaming at reach.radio or via our Reach Radio app on your Android or iPhone. If you have recently accepted Jesus into your life and you have questions about salvation, we'd love to help guide you in your journey. email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. Don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. Our local listeners can watch Practical Christian Living Sunday mornings at 8:30 on KGUN 9 TV. Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living, a ministry of Calvary Tucson, where we are reaching for Jesus, connecting with people, and walking in truth.
Calvary Tucson has developed a discipleship school with you in mind. Reach College of Ministry is for adults of all ages who want a deeper relationship with Jesus, a stronger grasp of the Bible, and practical insight into fulfilling your God-given calling. Earn your certificate in theology in as little as 1 year or enroll in individual courses for personal growth. Attend courses online or in person at Calvary Tucson's East Campus. Visit thereachcollege.org today to learn more and start this exciting journey.